down. Paul never got up and he said, hey, this is the gospel. This is truth. This is what God does in your life. Amen. And I'm so thankful for what he's done in my life. How about you? Amen and amen. So last week, I really loved last week's. Can we bring the lights up just a little bit? I'm getting sleepy. Thank you. Can't have me sleepy. Thank you. Appreciate it, Sean. So last week, we talked about the foundation of an individual, a family, and a nation, Memorial. We talked about how they're trying to change the foundation of this nation. If you can change the foundation of this nation and say never was a godly nation, amen? If you can change the foundation of a nation, that's when America's lost. That's when you lose all the school systems. The next generation doesn't know anything about the truth, doesn't know anything about how this nation began. So therefore, it's like this nation is wicked. Christianity must be wicked, so I got to go the other direction. That is the whole thing that it's about. That thing about 1619, amen, is a whole thing about saying that Christianity is wicked and evil. That is at the root of it. And if that is at the root of it, then we know Satan is behind it, saints. He's behind it, amen? So Memorial, last week, talking about what is our foundation? What is your foundation? I like what Joshua 24, I love teaching out of the Old Testament. I love the Old Testament. I love it in the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I really do. I have to remind myself to get into the New Testament and read that because I love those types and shadows and symbols that point to Jesus Christ where I can say, that's me. I'm a child of God. I'm a joint heir with Christ. I'm a child of Abraham by goodness, amen, through the new covenant. Anyway, so Joshua 24:15. But if it is disagreeable in your sight to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves today whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served, which were beyond the Euphrates River, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And understand that he's with a group of people, the Israelites, that have seen miracle after miracle after miracle of God in the desert. Those 40 years, they saw miracle after miracle after miracle. So he was just saying to them, he says, I don't know what you're going to do when you cross into the promised land. He says, I can't determine what people's faith is going to be, who they're going to believe in, what they're going to stand for, and what they're not going to stand for. But what he was saying, Joshua was saying, but as for me and my house, we're going to walk with Jesus Christ. As for me, my house, he is the way, the truth, and the life. There is no way to come to the Father but through Jesus. As for me, my house, that's who we are. And that's what he was saying. Joshua. Amen. And so we had Israel that they were going to get ready. I'll read some scriptures in a minute. So they're going to get ready to finally come out of this desert. How many years were they in the wilderness? 40 years. That's quite a spell, isn't it? That's a long time. They didn't have to be there that long, did they? They didn't have to be there. So let's talk a little bit. So in Deuteronomy 9:1-3. So this is, once again, this is Moses before he passed away. He's starting to get the Israelites ready to go into the promised land. I mean, he takes several chapters in Deuteronomy and into Joshua, getting them ready to go into the promised land, to possess the land, the promises of God. Deuteronomy, so he says, here, Israel, you are crossing the Jordan today. Wow. Could you imagine? You're getting ready to cross the Jordan. You have spent 40 long years. You've eaten every type of manna there is. Remember the manna? Does anybody remember that old Keith Green song? Some of you don't know, Manna Bread and all these. I can't remember some of the other. I mean, they've been eating manna. The day they crossed the Jordan, by the way, the manna stopped. And they went into the promised land. But they were getting ready to cross into the Jordan. And it says, oh, hear, O Israel, you are crossing the Jordan today to go in to possess nations greater and mightier than you. Wow. Cities that are great and fortified to heaven. A people who are great and tall. The sons of Anakim, he says, whom you know, and it says, whom you know and of whom you have heard it said, who can stand against the sons of Anak. So be aware today that it is the Lord your God who is crossing over ahead of you as a consuming fire. He will destroy them and he will subdue them before you. So then you may drive them out and eliminate them quickly, just as the Lord has spoken to you. So you think about this. My first point is greater than you. Greater and mightier than you. To the enemy, they were getting ready. God was trying to prepare them. You're going into a land, man. It is crazy what you're going to see. You're going to come up against fortified cities and people that you've heard about, how mighty and strong they are. Be prepared, because God is going before you as a mighty fire. See, they were aware of these people that are the Anakins. They knew them. Matter of fact, it had been 38 years prior to that they had an experience with these people. So when he says, be ready, man, you're going back in, you're going to cross into the promised land. But he says, basically he's saying, but let me remind you what happened 38 years ago. Look what happened when you were fearful and you didn't trust the Lord. Let me show you a reminder. So we go back to Numbers 13, 30, 33. Of course, you guys know this story. So I'm bringing it up because it says when you know who the Anakin are, you know who these people are. It was more than just having heard of them. They actually had come up and seen them. Remember the 12 spies that went into that were sent into the promised land to look at it and to bring back a report. And so they brought it back. They sent 12 spies out, and 10 of them gave a bad report. It's amazing because they've seen all these powerful works of God in their lives. And we'll talk a little bit more of that later. But yet when they saw these people, 10 of the... And these are leaders of each tribe. So these weren't just young individuals, young bucks. No, these were leaders of each tribe. They had seen what God had done. See, they'd been there when they had come out of Egypt, many of them. They had seen how God brought them out, how they had gone through the middle of the Red Sea, of the provision of food and quail and everything that God did. They had seen it. So these were seasoned individuals. And so they send out 12, and you know, they came back and they gave a bad report, 10 of them. Only Caleb and Joshua gave a good report. So we pick up there, it says Numbers 13:30. It says, then Caleb quieted the people and before Moses and said, we should by all means go up and take possession of it, for we will certainly prevail over it. But the men who had gone up with him, we are not able to go up against this people, this is what they said, because they are too strong for us. So they brought a bad report of the land which they had spied out to the sons of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to spy out is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people whom we saw in it are people of great stature. We also saw the Nephilim there, the sons of Anak, there's that word, as part of the Nephilim. And we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight. Wow. So Israel there, so they said, look, point two first is Israel had determined that it was on them to create the victory. Have you ever been that in your life? I find myself just being human beings still, that I find myself sometimes trying to figure it out. How's this going to work out? How's this situation? It could be finances. It can be a relationship. It can be a struggle that's going on in your life. And the first thing I do is like, okay, let this big brain juice up. That's what I have to tell myself. Okay, let's get a notes and paper out. Let's take notes. And how are we going to get through this? And see, that was the same mentality that the Israelites had. See, they saw these cities that were fortified to heaven. The appearance. Man, they went and they saw these huge people. Tall people, people like Goliath. We'll talk a little bit about it. So these cities were fortified to heaven, the appearance of them. Fortified meaning once captured, once caught, cannot get out. Man, they said, we get in those cities, or if they come against us, there's no way we're going to get out. So they were looking at these fortified walls. It was like supernatural. I don't know how tall these walls were. I know they were more advanced people than... I mean, look at the Israelites had been, slaves under Egypt for like 430 years. You think they had that much technology? No, they were slaves. They had broke their back for generations. And so they're seeing technology. They're seeing city walls. They're seeing things they had never seen before. And what happened? They begin to say, we can't stand up against that. Fortified city walls that went up to heaven. See, that's denotes a spiritual thing, supernatural. We're looking at these walls and saying, man, these people aren't just people that are walking in their own strength. Man, they've got some kind of God that's working with them. They've got some kind of power that we're not aware of. Look at how tall these walls are. They go clear to heaven. You know, it's interesting because it talks about the Nephilim, and just a small note, some of you Bible scholars and Bible junkies, in Genesis 6, chapter 4 says, the Nephilim were on the earth in those days and also afterward. Now, this is before the flood. When the sons of God came in to the daughters of mankind and they bore children to them, those were the mighty men who were of old, men of renown. But many scholars think these were fallen angels, fallen beings, having children with women on earth. And it was, you've seen those movies of like demigods, have you? Haven't you seen those? So it says they were men of renown, giants, super feet. So these were people that were like giants. It's one main reason that God flooded the earth at that time, because of the human race being tainted. What's interesting, it says that in those days and also afterward, they had these Nephilim. They had these people like of supernatural ability and power. And so just the Israelites saying, man, we know the stories of the Nephilim. And we know we've heard that they're related or offspring of the Nephilim. Did you see the size of those dudes and dudettes? And look at the ability of the city walls that they built. Look at the technology that they had. And so when they saw that, Moses says, hey, you're going to go into the promised land. Remember, there's those Nephilim there. Remember, there's those people there. But see, God is going before you this time as a consuming fire. So they had remembered with something like, my goodness, the last time we came up against them, we had to turn around and go back into the desert. That was 38 years ago. 38 years ago, we've been wandering the desert. Sometimes people can have things that they've gone through, experiences, and in their own lives can remain in a desert because of an experience they've had or things that have happened in their lives. They'll remain in a desert. Really, it's a Nephilim in their own life, something that keeps them from being confident in God, that keeps them from walking in the strength that God has for them, that keeps them from walking in the gifts and the abilities that they of what God has placed in their lives. It might as well be a Nephilim looking at them saying, you can't come this way. You remember what happened last week. And so Israel was up against that. And then on top of that, you have Moses that throws it in their face. You remember that, don't you? But he was saying that for a purpose. He says, you remember that, and you remember what happened. You've been in a desert. What he was saying is, God doesn't want you in a desert anymore. He wants you to overcome this. He wants you to be victorious. Amen? He wants you to come into the promised land that God has for you and your family. Amen? The promised land, his provision, his ability, his strength in you. Amen? I mean, that's good stuff in my opinion, amen? I don't know if you're out there, but to me, this is good stuff. Amen. The Nephilim. And so that number three, that point I want to mention. Point three out of eight today. Be aware. I love that what he says, be aware. This is what I love. Those scriptures, be aware. He goes ahead of you as a consuming fire. Deuteronomy 31:8 says, and the Lord is the one who is going ahead of you. He will be with you. He will not desert you or abandon you. Do not fear and do not be dismayed. Hallelujah. They had to keep saying that over and over and over again. Do not fear. Do not be afraid. I think, why did you keep saying that, Lord? Well, you read it in context. It's because they're always remembering those last defeats. They're remembering those things that had happened that kept them back from what God wanted to do, which was to bring them into the promised land. Amen? So it says, do not fear, do not be dismayed. Dismayed meaning thoroughly disheartened, disillusioned. Saints, I'm telling you, the enemy pushes at us. His whole goal in life towards the believer is to dishearten you and for you to become disillusioned. And it's a battle. I don't care if you're in the pulpit. I don't care if you're in the Sunday school. I don't care if you're in the back row. This is what the enemy tries to do. Because if you're disillusioned, if you're disheartened, you'll stand back. You'll relax and stand back from what God has for you. And this is what you'll say. Man, I can't get past that Nephilim. I can't get past that dude. I can't go forward. Can you realize what happened when I came up against that last time? Do you know what I've done of where I've been? That can be your Nephilim. So Deuteronomy 9:3 again, I love just going back to what I had read. It says, so be aware today that it is the Lord your God who is crossing over ahead of you as a consuming fire. So be aware today. We'll talk in context of the new covenant, but I want you saints, I'm talking to myself, to be aware today that God is going before. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care how fortified the city walls are. I don't care how fortified the government looks. I don't care how big those things that are standing against us or those things that are going on in our family, the giants, the Nephilim. God is saying, I am going before you, and you and I just have to make a choice. Lord, I believe you. And when we have those problems of discouragement, we dust ourselves off and say, Lord, I believe you. Amen? We've talked enough of Abraham. Did Abraham, my goodness, he'd given up believing on God for sure. You don't believe me? He takes on another wife and says, this is going to be the promise. Amen? God didn't abandon him. He brushed his knees off. He made a terrible mistake, and he says, God, I'm still here. Amen. God was faithful to him. So how do we be aware? If it says we're to be aware, well, those things are in the scripture. The scripture, and they're very easy and simple for us to digest today, to think about, to ponder on. Hebrews 12:28 and 29 says, therefore, since we receive a kingdom that cannot be shaken, hallelujah, it says, let's show gratitude. Let's show gratitude by which we may offer to God an acceptable service with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. See, I always grew up thinking that consuming fire was meant to chastise me and to whoop my butt and to cook me. Am I the only one? I don't know, but that's just how I was taught. He's a consuming fire. You better stand at attention. No, I look at this. No, it's a consuming fire towards my enemies. That gives me confidence. If he's the consuming fire, if he's leading and guiding me, if I can always get up and brush my knees off and say, God, here I am. Your mercies are new every morning. Here I am, Lord. Amen. If he's a consuming fire before me, that is used in my favor and not against me. I always was thinking it was against me, that consuming fire. But as I read the scriptures, the Old Testament, in the New Testament, it's that consuming fire is for my benefit. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And it's also a consuming fire in me, which is called the Holy Spirit. He shall baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. So that fire is not just going ahead of me, that fire is in me. Amen? Amen, that fire is in you. To use against the Nephilim. To be used against the enemy that says, you can't enter here. The gates are too big, the walls are too big. This stronghold will not be given up. That's what the enemy's saying. But with the fire of God in us, and the fire of God that's leading us, no, we're saying, Nephilim, enemy, thing that's kept me back. No, you're moving. No, you're going to be destroyed. You're not only going to be defeated, you're going to be destroyed, and we're going to tear down all your tall walls, and in 1,000 years, nobody will even know that your city was here. And what I love about that, when those things are torn down, those things that are standard against God, those things that we believe, amen, those things that are contrary to God, when those things are torn down and they're gone, this is what I believe, they're gone towards my children too. If a city's torn down, it's gone forever. And if there's things that need to be torn down in my life that keep me back and things that I believe, things that I come against, I'm believing as they're torn down in my life, they're torn down in the life of my children. I may not see it now, but in generations to come, it'll definitely be seen. Some of you have people in past generations that were praying saints that did not see what's happening right now. They prayed for it. They believed it. They believed it. They never saw it. But look at me now. You can say, but look at me now. Grandma, you didn't see it. Mom or dad, you might have not seen it. Aunt and uncle, you didn't see it, but you tore down these walls, these lies of the enemy, these things that held the family back, and they'll never be erected again. Hallelujah. Man, that's pretty good stuff. That wasn't even in my notes. Amen. Gratitude. Thessalonians 5:16, 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances. It didn't say give thanks for all circumstances. I got circumstances I'm not thankful for at all. I'm like, where did this come from? But I'm saying, thank you, God, for getting me through it. I'm giving you because you are the one that's my victory. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. You know, this thing with pray without ceasing, because obviously I can't pray without ceasing because I got business to do and everything, but it's always mindful he's leading me. Having a heart of worshiping him, realizing he's my brain, he's my wisdom, he's the one that's leading me, amen? I'm in situations, I say, Lord, give me wisdom here. Other situations, Lord, help me to know what to say. Lord, and so just those prayers. Lord, thank you for just praying for others, praying for you, praying for family. Always having a heart of communication. That's what it is. Amen. That communion with my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. See, so how do we be aware? This is what I've come to realize. A heart of thanksgiving. Right? It's only when I get upset, get tied in knots. You ever been there? Don't lie to me. Then I'm out of thanksgiving, because then I start trying to figure out the situation on my own. Thank God I'm not smart enough. You're not smart enough. He's smart with us, right? Amen? Sophia wisdom. Amen? He's the one that gives us all the knowledge and wisdom that we need. But having that heart of gratitude. Thank you, Lord, if we can just stop and say, Lord, I just have to stop. Lord, thank you for a heart of gratitude. Saints, if you have the Spirit of God, just remind your soul, Lord, that I want to have a heart of gratitude. I'm telling you, I'm talking to myself today. Lord, I want to have a heart of gratitude. Lord, I want to thank you for what you've done in my life. Lord, I want to thank you for what you're doing in my family's life. Lord, I want to thank you for where you're leading and guiding me by the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Lord, I want to thank you for reminding me that you are a consuming fire in me, and you go before me and lead and guide me. And I thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for making that life in my soul realm. Thank you for making that life in the renewing of my mind, that the Holy Spirit, Father, giving this wisdom and knowledge, this word that I'm speaking right now, will become life to you and me. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, man, I love him. Thank you. He's so faithful. Saints, he's so faithful. It's his Spirit in you that continues to say, come on. Be encouraged in him, amen. Be strengthened in him. Be reminded, Lord, that I want that heart of thanksgiving. Hallelujah. Amen. How do we be aware of point four, point five? It wasn't Israel's righteousness, but the covenant through Abraham. Yeah, it's right in this, all these, this conversation that Moses is having with the children of Israel. In Deuteronomy 9:5, it says, this is God talking. Through Moses, it is not because of your righteousness or the uprightness of your heart that you're going in to take possession of their land. But it is because of the wickedness of these nations that the Lord your God is driving them out from before you. and in order to confirm the oath which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You see, God is so faithful. Even if I want to say that his grace was very evident in the wilderness. We see all the, under the old covenant and all the, in the anger and the wrath of God, but let me just say that he could have easily wiped them all out. But he remembers his promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And I tell you, saints, because of me walking with Jesus Christ, with you walking with Jesus Christ, I'm under a new covenant, and I'm not only a joint heir with Christ, but I'm a joint heir with Abraham. I am. I've been grafted in, it says in the book of Romans. I being a wild branch, have been grafted in. That is wonderful news. Amen? I've been grafted in of the blessings of Abraham. Thank you, Lord Jesus. That's exciting. That's good stuff. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So he says, so even Israel in the wilderness, you know, they were worshiping other gods. I just want to show you the grace of God during that time. Acts, something that you don't really read in the Old Testament, but we get a little picture. In Acts chapter 7, verse 42 and 43, the Amplified Bible. This is talking about Israel. It says, but God turned away from them and handed them over to serve the host of heaven. As it is written and forever remains written in the books of the prophets, it was not really to me, he's talking about Israel, God talking to Israel, it was not really to me that you offered victims and sacrifices for 40 years in the wilderness. That's a sacrificial, the law in the wilderness, was it? And he goes, was it? O house of Israel. You also took along the tabernacle portable temple of Molech and the star of the god Rampha, the images which you made to worship. Wow, he was saying even the whole time you were in the desert, you were worshiping other gods. Even when, I know they made the golden calf, but God's grace and mercy, that even when they, you know, understand that they came out of where they came out of being slaves to Egypt for 430 years, they had all these different worship. Man, it wasn't until Moses came along and the law, they started understanding God's holiness, who God was. They were coming out of what they knew for 430 years. They knew about the promise, but they weren't being taught the things of God so much. They only knew the gods of what they were in bondage to. So God even says, even when I was with you in the desert, you were worshiping the Canaanite god Molech, which sacrificed to children. And then you were also sacrificing to Rampha, the star of Rampha, looking, and that means looking to the stars for direction. Yeah. And looking to worship. Amen. That's what to start. But before then, I'm talking about back then, long before David, worshiping the stars, looking for direction. Yeah, well, it brought it from Egypt, you're right. And so even during that, I'm saying it's God's goodness and grace was with them, amen? Even in the wilderness, even in all of Israel's struggles and rebellion, God showed his grace and favor on them. Now, I'll tell you what, under this new covenant of reconciliation, God's grace and mercy has even been more, it's been lavish now. I'm telling you, if you go back through your life, maybe you can think of all the mistakes and everything on your way to God. He never left you or forsook you. He was always there until you found Jesus Christ. So as they were worshiping even against God, in verse 6, and under the new covenant, we now have reconciliation. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says there, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, this person is a new creation. You know this, right? The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. Verse 18, now all these things are from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ, and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. But it continues, namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. Reconciling who? The world to himself. Amen? Not counting their wrongdoings against them. Who's them? Everybody in the world. And he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. It says, therefore, we are ambassadors of Christ. Amen? As though God were making an appeal through us, Paul says, we beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Amen. God's grace and mercy has been extended beyond where you cannot find righteousness in the law in your effort, but by putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And if God went before the Israelites at that time with a all-consuming fire, and now we have a consuming fire in us, how much more is God with his people today, saints? How much more? The promises, it says, the promises that we have now far outweigh the old covenant. How much more is our God a consuming fire for you and I? Oh, how he loves you and I. See, this consuming fire I mentioned is a fire that is within us. Amen? Ephesians 3, 14 through 21. This reason I bend my knee before the Father. This is Paul again. From whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner self. Man. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, the length, and height, and depth, and to know the love of God, of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to all the fullness of God. Amen. Verse 20 says, now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. To him be the glory of the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. It's the thing that burning fire, as they were coming into the promised land, the Nephilim being there, God reminded them, saying, hey, you've seen these people before. But here's the difference. I'm going before you this time as a burning fire, a consuming fire. You see, that's a representation, really, of the new covenant. He went before them, not because of their righteousness. He even said, not because of their righteousness, but because of the promise to Abraham. Amen? So for me today, I'm saying, Lord, according to Galatians, Lord, that same God that was the father of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, by faith, is now my father. Saints, it's only by faith. Hebrews 11, 32. How does this consuming fire work within our hearts? How do we get past these things, these Nephilims, these things that can continue to trip us up? It starts with faith. But faith in what? I love what in Hebrews 11, 32. You know the Hall of Faith chapter, right, in Hebrews? It says, and what more shall I say? For time will not fail me. For time will fail me if I tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel and the prophets, who by what? Faith conquered kingdoms, performed acts of righteousness. How? By faith. Obtained promises. This is for you and I today. Nothing's changed. Obtained promises, shut the mouth of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, from weakness were made strong, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Father, we thank you. Those foreign armies today for you and I is the enemy of the cross. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. It's the enemy. Amen. It's the kingdom. It's the little g, the little God, the God of this world. By this faith, putting our trust in him, knowing that he goes before us. Amen. Doesn't matter all the fortification, the strongholds, that can be addiction, the weaknesses of the flesh. These are walls. It can be the relationships that have been damaged or torn apart. The areas of our lives that seem to be walled or damaged, or things that we can't seem to get to. Those things are gotten in us by walking in faith with him. It's amazing when you put your trust in him leading and guiding you and saying, Lord, I dare, knowing that by faith you've forgiven through in his blood, you've forgiven all my sins and those things that keep hindering me when I don't give up and give in to the voice of the enemy. Those walls will come down. So Israel had to make a choice. Do we go into the promised land, or do we talk like we did 38 years ago and say it can't be done? For many people, they'll say it can't be done. So for years and years and years, they stay away from that. Oh, man, I could have done something for God. I could have done that. He could have led me. Man, I could hear his voice, but I had this thing I came up against, which becomes a giant in somebody's life, becomes a fortified wall, and they say, I can't go into the promised land. I can tell you, for healing in our lives, for deliverance, for His faithfulness, for His for our families, man, putting our trust in this Jesus, the consuming fire, these walls, I don't know when, they will come down. You love Him this morning? Father, we thank You for Your faithfulness. As the worship team comes, Nephilim. They were so powerful in the mind of the Israelites. They had seen the Red Sea split. They'd seen the manna, the quail. They'd seen all the miracles of God being led by a cloud by day and fire by night. But for whatever reason, this land that God says, this is your land, 10 of those head people of those tribes said, we can't do it. They're too big. They're too powerful. Man, those things in our lives, as the Lord, as I put this message together and the Lord speaking to my heart, amen, the biggest thing I got from this saying, Lord, thank You that Your consuming fire is for me and not against me. I said His consuming fire is for me and not against me. Those things that He's never forsaken. Israel could have looked back and said, look at all the victories. That's what Caleb and Joshua did. The Bible says God had said that Caleb was of a different spirit. Well, man, I'm of a different spirit too. I've been born again. I'm of a different spirit, aren't you? I had that like born again. Caleb was like a representative, a born again individual. He's saying, we certainly can take them. We can certainly take them. Man, he said, man, I don't know what these 10 guys saw. I don't know what they were seeing. But I was seeing cities that were being destroyed, the walls being jerked down, the enemy being destroyed. I don't know what they saw, but they didn't see the same God that I saw that split the Red Sea and all those things. I've learned to learn to say, God, I can look back at the things You did for me, and surely You can take this land for me. Hallelujah! You can take this land for me. Father, how we love You, how we worship You. Can we take a minute today? Can we still have church and worship Him for a minute? If you can stand up with me. And this is how to say, if you believe in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, His Holy Spirit lives in you. And I just say this. I say, Lord, say this with me. Lord, You're a consuming fire in me that goes before me. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. Amen.